Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Goddess Live Radio. We have such a special edition for you tonight. And forgive the little, you know, tech fail at the beginning. Apparently, my Direct Connect could not find the microphone. No big deal. We are connected. Anne is on the line, Anne Key. We're going to bring her on in just a second. And tonight is a really, really special show because we are actually going to be doing a live Twitter party. How fun is that? And, you know, as we're talking. So we're going to be listening, talking, chatting, and tweeting. So for everybody that's listening, please make sure you are following the hashtag BYSL and Goddess Alive, because we've got giveaways, we've got questions, we've got all kinds of great things that are going on, you know, as we're talking. So I'm going to be multitasking a little bit here, so forgive me. You're going to hear me tapping away in the background. And so I just want to say hello and welcome, and I want to introduce our very special guest tonight. Is Anne Key, who is one of the managing partners of Goddess Inc. Media. And gosh, it's been a year now that I've been connected with Anne. She is a powerhouse, an amazing priestess, goddess woman, teacher, burlesque dancer. And by the way, she has my leopard heels on tonight. I just want to say that for the record, those are mine for sure. She tweeted me texted me a picture of her leopard heels she's wearing for the show tonight, and they are for sure mine. Okay, so now that we have that established, one of the reasons we're doing the Twitter party tonight, excuse me, is because Anne has released, at the end of October, she released her new memoir, Burlesque, Yoga, Sex, and Love. And let me tell you, it is amazing. It is such a cool book. And I know, like, you hear it and you think, okay, so what is this all about? Well, you know, Anne is here to redefine midlife. That is exactly what she's doing in this book. She's talking about burlesque, what she does, and she creates all of her own costumes. We're going to talk about that. She talks about her yoga, sex after 50, and love after 50, and her marvelous husband, Ben, and kind of the road that got her here. So we're going to talk about body image. We're going to talk about how we can truly celebrate our bodies, and we are going to talk about redefining midlife. And all of that is going to be happening. And at the same time, we are going to be tweeting on the hashtag BYSL and Goddess Alive. So please, please, please join us there. And I'm going to tell you, we've got some great giveaways. So join us there and let's have some fun. Meanwhile, let's bring Anne on so we can start chatting and tweeting and having some. Anne, try it again. Hello? Anne, can you hear
me? Hey, how are you?
Oh, my goodness. Hooray.
So good to be here.
It is so good. And I don't know what's going on. We've got some blog talk funky going on. That's all right. You know, it must have been the leopard heels.
You might have to pry those out of my cold, dead hands, actually.
Oh, okay, so you're just going to have to tell me where you got them, and then we'll be okay.
A friend gave them to me.
Oh, my gosh. Uh-oh. Okay. Well, I'll find something. Okay. And Brandy is telling us that we're overlapping a little bit. Let's see here.
Okay.
You know, how we're doing. So welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. And, you know, we're going to be doing some tweeting on here and having a good time. And hi, Genevieve. We're so excited to see you here in the Twitter chat. And I know Brandy's in there as well. Come on, people. Let's get in here for a Twitter party. I know everybody's like Christmas shopping mode, but let's do some tweeting.
And let's have some fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Brandy says it's now clear.
Yay! Thanks to Brandy for being our audio consultant.
I know. So, you know, let's go ahead and get this started. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and how this works, everybody, Anne and I are going to be chatting. We're going to be watching Twitter. So, you know, you can all can participate. We have some great giveaways. And so let's start. And we have a few moderated questions. So, you know, let's start with the first one, which is, what is everybody drinking? What's in your cup? Anne, do you want to start?
Wow. I tweeted you a picture of me and the fabulous martini that my husband made me. And it is delicious. It is part... It's one part, let me see, he wrote it down for me. One part either Kahlua or olive triple shot espresso flavored vodka, two parts absolute vodka, and a little cocoa for the rim. But I actually had him put hot chocolate mix on the rim, and I have to say it is delicious.
Ooh.
And a maraschino cherry. So that's kind of how I've started my evening.
That is marvelous. Is that like the French lavender martini, right? Is that's the French lavender martini, right?
Well, almost. Instead of regular vodka, we use we infuse our own vodkas, and he infuses a lavender vodka. So if you have a lavender infused vodka, you can substitute that for the Absolut.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so I am now tweeting in where you can get that recipe, and oh my goodness, so good. And and I'm kind of boring. I'm drinking a cup of coffee. So but that's okay. Keeps us chipper.
Absolutely. We should all have whatever's in our glass that makes our bodies feel fabulous. So,
absolutely. Okay, so let's talk a little bit. Tell us and our listeners about, you know, burlesque, yoga, sex, love, the memoir. How did this come about? I mean, you know, tell us about it.
Well, it all started... because when I moved to Albuquerque, I had been to a burlesque show, and I really wanted to do it. I'm a dancer, you know, just for fun. But I really wanted to try this new dance form. And so I joined a burlesque troupe. And as I started going through the process of doing burlesque, so many things came up for me. I found myself journaling every day, every evening about what had happened in practice and what questions were coming to me. And as I just kept journaling, I just kept thinking, this is a book. I really need to put this together. So it made me question so many things. It made me more conscious of my body. It moved me to a place of radical acceptance of my body. It made me question the sexual boxes that we put ourselves in, or no, that society has put us in, and that we've accepted all of these parameters of what is okay and what is not. And it were really things that I that made my mind think, and it made my heart really wonder about what was the genuine part of me. So that's kind of how it all started.
Oh, my God, that is so cool. What were some of the revelations that really came about from this book? Because, you know, we're talking about the book as redefining midlife, as, you know, and you know, no secret, you're 51, right? And
yeah, I'm actually 52 now.
Well, yeah, but you know what? We look at the pictures of Annie O'Rourke, your burlesque name, and we look at the pictures of Ann Key, and you do not look anywhere near that. So what's the secret?
Well, I think the thing is that we have an idea of what someone is like at 50. And that idea is incorrect. So I... 2 weeks ago, I was in El Paso to do a show with these fabulous burlesque troupe in El Paso, and I was one of their guest performers. And one of the women from the El Paso troupe is Ms. Pearl, or Madam Pearl, I'm sorry, her stage name is Madam Pearl, and she is 68, and she is a consummate showwoman. She is on stage, beautiful and amazing. There are many, many burlesque legends that are in their 60s, in their 70s, and creeping up into their 80s that are still on stage, still fabulous, and still doing it. And I think we really need to celebrate women at all ages. Age is just not a determinant of how we are sexually or how we feel about ourselves. I mean, there's this idea somehow that women reach middle age and a little older, and then they just disappear. And
right.
I'm not disappearing. That's for sure.
Oh, my God. That is 68 years old. Now, tell us a little bit about how you got into burlesque. I mean, you know, and I'm going to put another moderated question in for our Twitter people, you know, about burlesque, yoga, sex, and love, because I want to talk a little bit about, you know, how people perceive that. So how did you get involved with that?
Well, I've been a belly dancer for years. I started taking belly dance in 1988, actually. And I love it. It's a fabulous art form. I've gotten so much out of it. It's really, dancing brings me into my body. I mean, by day, I'm a writer. I'm also an adjunct faculty member at a couple of different colleges teaching women's studies and religious studies. So I spend a lot of time in my head, and dancing is what brings me back into my body. And when we moved to Albuquerque, my husband Ben and I went to a burlesque show because I really wanted to see one. I'd never seen one. And I was hooked. I was like, this is smart, this is fun, and this is sexy. And this is women controlling their sexual image. And, wow, that is something we do not get to see in this society outside of burlesque. Almost never.
Right. That's amazing. So, and you make all of your own costumes. I do. That, you know,
if you follow me on Instagram, you get to see pictures of my fingers next to zippers and around needles. And at 3 a.m, if I can't sleep, I'm up sewing a costume for whatever insanity my life is. So. I love the creativity of sewing and making costumes. It's
wow. And how detailed is it? Like, how often do you perform?
No, it depends. This month, December, I have 2 performances, and then in January I have 1, 2, 3, and in February I have 2 booked. So, you know, once or twice a month usually is probably my average.
Nice. Nice. Yeah.
And then there's belly dancing gigs in between. I still belly dance, so.
Oh, how cool. And as Brandy is saying, yes, yes, yes. So happy to know we just get better with age.
Yes. And we have to keep getting better. We can't let society just say, yeah, you're done. We're on to the next thing. It's like, excuse me, this is my life. I get to move it. I get to live it.
Okay, so that is one of the things that I really, really love about the book is, you know, memoirs are tough, Anne, you know, because we're really, you know, we really have to sink into someone else's life, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I love the inspiration in burlesque, yoga, sex, and love. I think that's been one of the really cool things. And you give peeks into all of it. And at the same time, it's like this anthem of keep going. It is cool. It is better. It's great. You know?
Well, it's funny. A friend of mine from high school, who's still a good friend of mine, ordered a copy of my book and read it. And she said, I've never read a memoir by someone that I know. I didn't know all that was going on inside your head.
Oh, my God. Isn't that great? And
yeah.
And you have a quote in there that says, dancing brings me into my body. Can you expand on that?
Well, you know, oftentimes in the work that I do professionally, I'm writing or I'm creating things which are in my head, and I'm expressing those with words. And there's nothing physical really about that. It's all head. But when I dance, I can take an idea or an emotion or a feeling, or a rhythm, and I put it on my body, and my body moves with it, just like words move with something out of my mouth, maybe, my body moves with it, and it's a beautiful and amazing, dancing is beautiful and amazing. It's as wonderful for the dancer as it is for the spectator.
I had the honor of putting together a trailer for you and to be able to go through some of the pictures. And what's really interesting is my son, who's 18, had an opportunity to look, you know, he was helping me and to look through some of these pictures. And I think what struck me so tremendously is you are so in the moment, present, and even Zach said, gosh, I mean, she just looks ecstatic, you know, you know, and they're beautiful, they're gorgeous, because, you know, there's that moment where, you know, somebody is just so in the present, it's amazing.
You know, and I think that's what we can do with dance, is that when I see someone dance and they are so far down that path and so into it, they open that door for me to follow them. And I think that is the beautiful things that dancers do, is they open that door for us as the audience to follow them, to be with them, and to share in that ecstasy. It's a beautiful thing.
That is so cool. And so if someone is interested in getting into burlesque, and let me ask this question about burlesque. I mean, you know, there's no nudity, right? I mean, it's all kind of a play, right, on it. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, the burlesque is the journey. As let me see, I've got this great quote from burlesque legend Satan's Angel, who's just fabulous. She said, "Whether it makes them laugh or cry, they are glad they took the journey." And what we do in burlesque is we give people that journey to their own sexual their own sexuality, in a sense. And so we're there to tease, to open the door, to sort of crook a finger and say, "Hey, won't you follow me down this path?" And it's not full nudity, but let me tell you, I mean, there's not much left when you have a tiny thong and little pasties on. I mean, it's not like, but everybody can go down to what they like. Every act is different, you know, so every reveal in every act is different. And some acts reveal more flesh than others. But, you know, we see just as much flesh on a perfume ad. So it really isn't the amount of skin that you're showing. It's the way that we show it in burlesque. It's the allure and the tease and the whole sliding a glove down the hand, down the arm, and exposing the arm, and then maybe pulling it up and say, "Oh, I don't want you to see that yet. Oh, here's another peek. Oh, did you really want to see that?"
Okay.
A lot of playful fun.
Okay. So, and that moves us into kind of the next moderated question we're going to pop out for our Twitter people. Is your body your temple? And how does burlesque and how does yoga and how does sex kind of bring that idea of your body as your temple into the present for you?
I our body is our physical form, and it's really earthy thing. It's what we live in, and it's the gift that we have to give. Does that make sense? Our offering. Our bodies are. And to make that offering beautiful, I mean, you know, there's this. I have a whole part of me that works in the realm of priestessing, and for me, my body is the temple. It is the offering. It is what I give back to this world that has given me so much.
That is so cool. And why that's so cool is because so many of us struggle with body image. We struggle with the idea, of our body as a temple. It's a challenge. I think it's one of the biggest challenges that women are facing. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a challenge because of this societal constraints about what women can and can't be. I mean, I don't, certainly we are challenged as women because of what we are fed by this culture. And I think it is what we need to do is continue to change the culture. And by doing that, we need to keep stepping out and saying, "No, this is what is beautiful. This is what is real. This is what a woman is now." And I really say that we have to love our bodies unconditionally. That doesn't mean that, I mean, I work out, I eat carefully. You know, it's not that I'm not conscious of my body, but I love my body at every size and every moment. And I just really push myself to do that. Just like, I don't know, just like you push yourself to love like a relative that you have some difficulty with, you think, I don't always agree with this person, but I love them unconditionally because they are my cousin. They're my sister. And I think we have to have that same relationship with our body, that same openness and beauty and wholeness and acceptance.
There is a divide, I believe, you know, where women, you know, hold their bodies up to societal standards, find it lacking, and then it's very difficult for them to cross that divide and get into the, my body is my temple, it is sacred, and, you know, I think it's really, really tough. Your memoir, your book, Burlesque Yoga, Sex and Love, helps women do that.
And it is tough. And no one should ever say that it's not tough, because it is. It is really tough. It is a struggle. But it is a worthy, it's a worthy thing. Because we as women need to be in our bodies to be whole, to be effective, to really, I mean, as you know, that I'm a priestess of the goddess, and to be that, we mm-hmm. I believe that I have to be completely in my body, and be okay with it at all times, and that's not easy.
It's not easy.
Well, but it doesn't mean it's not a good thing to work on, you know.
Right. And very interesting, as Brandy, one of our tweeters, is saying, you know, finding the confidence to get on the stage for burlesque and connecting that to your goddess spirituality, powerful. So how does burlesque, yoga, sex, love, how do you connect that all as a priestess and to your goddess spirituality?
I mean, I think these are four ways that I connect with the physicality of my body. Burlesque is a very public way to connect with my body. Yoga is more of a private way. I mean, as you know, as I often say in the book, I'm the only one on my yoga mat. And yoga is something that connects me with my body intimately, and it's just me and myself there, and I'm pushing my body or yielding to my body and becoming one with my body. And sex is the way physicality is shared with another person. So you have like a public physicality, a very private physicality, and then a shared physicality that's intimate. And I don't know, maybe love is just, I always think of love as, you know, the grease on the wheels, the thing that makes everything move, makes it all work.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So these are four very interesting things that you've pulled together. As you were journaling, as you were kind of, you know, conceiving the book, was it apparent that these were the four ideas or concepts that you wanted to talk about?
Well, no, it just kind of came about that was what I was doing. When I moved to Albuquerque, I really wanted to move. I moved from a very small rural area in Oregon to a larger city here, and so I was able to engage more with hot yoga, and I got my husband involved, which was great. It's so much fun for us to do it together, and I just ended up doing these things, and they wove together in my life. So it isn't something that I kind of planned. It just happened. But that's how the best things are, aren't they? They just happen.
They do. They do. And Albuquerque is very much a part of the book. So So how did you weave that in?
Well, I'm very interested in the physicality of myself in a certain place. So the spirituality of place. And Albuquerque is just enchanting. I mean, they say New Mexico is a land of enchantment, and it is enchanting. It's beautiful. The landscape is open and inviting, stark and revealing, I think. The sunrises and sunsets here are phenomenal. The blue sky every day, you can see a bit of that blue sky on the cover of the book, but the sky is phenomenally beautiful. The mountains, the Sandia mountain range in the area. And then Albuquerque itself is a very old city. It has really interesting architecture. I try to talk a little bit about the architecture and how the city looks in the book as well. I hope everyone now wants to come visit Albuquerque because it's a great place.
I do.
Open invite.
I really love how you wove that in, though. And really, there's a very big part of your book. I mean, really, all the concepts are about being present. So, what are some of your tips, Anne, for being present for people?
Wow, I think the first one is really not lying to yourself. Being able to love, I have to love myself enough not to lie to myself, and I have to prefer honesty over illusion with myself, and I think that's a huge first step in being absolutely present. Physicality, sweating is a great way to be present. One of my yoga teachers said it a long time ago. He said, your body is in the past, your mind is in the future, and your breath is in the present. And to be able to take a breath and root down and be in this very moment is important for us to continue to do this, to reroot wherever we are. And breath is an excellent way to do that. That's my priestess tip for the day.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Really fantastic. And in everything that you're talking about in your book, I mean, you have to be very present. You have to be very conscious of your breath, of your presence, of everything, you know?
Yeah, it's, you know, certainly, and I think that's one of the great things that yoga does for me personally. It's moves me to breathe and moves me to breathe with my body movement, and to really integrate that is, it definitely grounds you in the present. And chanting is just all of breath. When I sit down to chant in the mornings, I realize that I haven't taken a deep breath in, I don't know, since the last time I chanted. I don't know what it is about, you know, stress. I mean, I lead a pretty stressful life, and I'm sure everybody else does. And stress makes us not breathe. It makes our lungs not fill up. We take these short, shallow breaths. And sit and chant makes our lungs fill, and we don't do that often enough, or I don't do that often enough. And chanting really moves me to do that, moves me to have that full breath.
You're so right. I mean, I do my mantras every morning, and I have to tell you, when I sit at my desk and I feel grumpy or tired or whatever, you know. It's like I get into the mantra, and it does. It fills me up, and I can raise my voice, and I can, express my voice and expand it. And it does. It expands my breath. And it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. You said in the book,
yay!
Now we get into it, right? Yeah. Okay. That roller derby is like burlesque. Do you want to talk about that?
So do you have roller derby in Florida?
Not that I'm aware of. Of course, you could call it without the wheels. Sometimes going to the market is a little bit like that.
Well, if you get it, you should find out if you have roller derby, because you probably have roller derby and you just don't even know it. Roller derby is fantastic. If I were younger and not worried about breaking a bone, I would be in roller derby. It's just, it's women being very real. They are, well, we all, you remember the movie, right? Or are you too young to remember the roller derby movie, Kim? Or,
well,
I don't know.
I've seen it on TV. Yeah.
And it's a lot like that. You know, you've got knee pads and elbow pads and helmets, and there's just incredible physicality with roller derby athleticism. It's wonderful to watch and be a part of. But the fun thing is that the women that do roller derby also dress up in these crazy outfits, and there's this funny little sexual twins that goes on with the athleticism of roller derby that makes it really playful and fun and interesting, as well as seriously athletic. And I guess that's why it reminds me of burlesque. And there are a lot of women that do both and move between both communities. So they're very much connected.
Gosh, that is absolutely fascinating to me. I mean, really, you know. You know, I just never would have, you know, connected the two of those. I thought that was really funny.
Well, if you don't see roller derby in Florida, when you come to Albuquerque, we will go.
Deal. Okay. All right. I've got to see it. And in the same, line of comparing things like that, you also draw some connections between priestessing and sexuality. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, I don't know if all of your listeners know that I spent a lot of my adult life as a priestess, and I was the priestess at the Temple of Goddess Spirituality dedicated to Sekhmet in Nevada, right outside of Las Vegas. And so I spent a lot of time in many of those priestess roles, leading ritual, helping people working in those more clerical, clergy type capacities. And I think sometimes when we put someone in a spiritual capacity, we forget that they are an entire human being, and that one's sexuality is as much a part of that spiritual practice as, because being physical is part of spirituality. And so I see them as intertwined.
You have a really great comment in here, and I just want to read it, you know, for our listeners. To perform burlesque with genuine sexuality, I need to follow the same path as I do in priestessing. I need to be as honest with my sexuality as I am with my spirituality, as comfortable sharing my sexuality as I am sharing my spirituality. Can you talk about that a little bit, about, you know, performing burlesque with genuine sexuality, you follow the same path as priestessing, and how does that work?
Well, in priestessing and leading ritual, I'm in front of a group. And by the way I put the ritual together, by what I bring to it, I show people my spiritual path, and I show them my spiritual ideas. And that's really revealing. That was a hard thing for me when I first went to the temple. I was accustomed to my spirituality being something I did, but something very private. And now I was working with these private rituals and leading groups through them. And I realized that to be able to ask people to follow me down that path, I needed to be my most genuine and honest self. And so when I took that leap to burlesque, I mean, maybe some of the, I mean, this is probably not the same for all burlesque performers, but I'm really not much of an actress. And so I need to bring what I put on stage comes from well within me, deep within me. And I have to be very honest about my sexuality and about my desires when I do burlesque. And it's a very emotional reveal. Revealing skin is not nearly as challenging as revealing what I feel and think that I'm not used to sharing with a group.
Wow. That's really interesting, you know. You also, you know, you talk about aging. You know, you talk about seeing your first patch of cellulite.
I remember the day when I looked down and I'm like, what? What are you doing here?
How did this happen? Right. You know, you're talking about your nipples drifting south. Yes. Relate to that. Yes.
Oh, my God. The hair on the chin. I'm like, what is this?
Where does that come from? Okay, like, and it comes out.
Why does it keep coming back?
Overnight. Yeah.
Right.
It's like I wake up and I've got this thing that's like 6 inches long. I'm like, what the hell is that?
I know. I mean, that's right. Exactly.
So, you know, how do you deal with that? I mean, you know, burlesque is very physical. Yoga is very physical, unless you do like me. I do restorative. but, you know, how do you kind of, you know, mesh that and work with that?
Hey, well, don't poo-poo restorative yoga. Restorative yoga
I love it. Are you kidding me?
Amazing and beautiful. And I, but I think yoga really forces me to accept my body as it is right now. Like, I start out at 6:30 in the morning and I'm in child's pose and I can't reach my forehead to the floor because my back is just like tight. It's just not loosened up enough yet. And I sit and sit, and then by the middle of class when I go back into child's pose, I can do that. Whereas, I mean, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have had to think twice about that. My head would have just gone straight to the floor, no problem. And I think it's, this really makes me have compassion for my body as it ages, and forces me to accept that, I mean, we are physically limited. There are things that I cannot do now that I could do 10 years ago. There are things that I cannot do now that I could do 5 years ago. And I pulled my psoas muscle, which I didn't even know what it was until I pulled it. trying to do the splits because I was just I was just fixated on getting the splits, being able to do the splits before I turned 50, and it was ridiculous. And I pushed and pushed and pushed myself, and I still haven't completely recovered from that. Whereas I could do the splits in my 20s, and if I'd had a, if I pulled a muscle, say in my 30s, it would never take this long to heal. And it really forces me to be more compassionate with my body and to listen to my body more, to not ignore it, but to be in it and listen.
Ah, okay. Good, good, good.
We can't just blithely walk around and act like our bodies are just going to do whatever we want them to do. Our bodies are are beings, just as we are, and we are a being with this body, and we need to take care of it and be with it and listen to what it says, what my body says to me.
Well, I think that's part of, you know, our body is our temple, you know. We would not push the temple, so to speak, to do things. We wouldn't, you know, knock out walls and decide to put new support beams in and all that good stuff you know, in a physical temple. And it's true. I mean, like, you know, for me, I have had lupus for 14 years. And what it has taught me is to honor my body, to honor how it feels, and to and bless the moments that I need to be down, or bless the moments that I can power walk 2 miles, or do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, there's a very big part of it, and I think that's part of you know, blessing the body and viewing it as sacred.
Well, and I, you know, I mean, my mother just turned 79 this year. And
wow.
I'm the oldest daughter, and I, you know, I see her in her body, and she hasn't really been interested in her body until it quit working. And now she's having to pay a lot more attention to it. But I don't want to just ignore my body. I want to be in union with it. I mean, that's what the root of the word yoga is, to yoke our mind and soul and body, to yoke our physicality and our spirituality.
Yes. I love that. I love that. And the union. The union, mean, we have to work in harmony, you know?
Right, right.
I want to do a very quick for our awesome little tweeters here. Oh, Joy Coy, you know, I love Twitter names. They're so fun. And Bridget Grove, we are, because we've got giveaways, so we're going to send you guys copies of Burlesque Yoga, Sex and Love. Congratulations. So there's our, you know, 2 giveaways. Woohoo! There we go. You know, more coming. Keep tweeting, everybody. Keep tweeting. I have a really great question. The question is from Brandy, and she says, sex after 50. Methods, techniques, things to do to stay feeling sexy.
Oh, you know, I don't think it's a problem feeling sexy. That's not, for me, a problem. The problem is, I don't know how honest you want me to be.
you know what? You know, we've got like 20, 30 people on the board here. They're obviously like ready for sexy talk. Let's do it.
Well, I think technically it's called like the thinning of the vaginal walls. But part of the problem is just being able to just stay, you know, used to be when I was young, I was just sort of naturally lubricated, right? You know, I was just a young, juicy fig.
Yeah.
And right after menopause kind of hit with me, that just like suddenly went away. And it is something I do talk about in the book. And
yeah,
it's really hard to be physical when it's not as quick and easy as it used to be. But it takes being in a dedicated partnership.
There
are so many things I appreciate about my husband. One of them is that he will go down to Walgreens and get female lubricant for me.
No.
And not bat an eye. And if he says, well, I'm the reason you need this, I should be the one picking it up.
What a guy. What a guy.
And I think part of it is being able to be with your partner and both of you understanding the physicality of each other and understanding that you're both getting older and there are things that are going to be different and it isn't going to be like it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. Right.
And committed to continuing, or not even just committed. I mean, that sounds like you're having to try. I mean, of course, intimacy is something that we want. But really being able to work in a new set of parameters of intimacy is important. And as women, I don't think we should have to hide that and like, oh, we have to pretend that we're 20 and we have to pretend that our vagina is 20. Well, it's not. It's 50. It's different. And there is no shame and no it isn't like we should have to hide that. Just like, you know, just like my knees creak when I bend down.
This is just what happens. I really agree. I mean, this is physiological. I mean, this is not like, you know, we've got somebody who's 70 walking around going, hey, my vagina's 25. I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, it happens to everybody. So we just need to be prepped for it. And I think that that's what I love so much, too, about your book is the honesty and the lack of shame, because so many women have so much shame around their body and body functions and sexuality. I mean, from word go, okay?
Yeah. Right.
So then by the time, you know, they get to menopause and then all of a sudden everything starts to really change dramatically again, they're feeling like they did something, you know?
Right.
And that's not it. This is what happens, period. You know, it just happens.
Right.
So I love that. So, okay, ladies, you know, we need to go find a guy who's going to run down and get the lubricant. I love that.
And maybe not even always a guy, but to be in partnership with our partners, with our bodies.
Yes.
And that also means
exactly.
Me as a woman understanding that my husband's body is different. It is not going to act like a 20-year-old man, and I should not expect him to. And that it just means continuing to be in love and continuing to be intimate and continuing to change and really, gosh, cherishing the fact that we are together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and intimacy takes on kind of a different depth, maybe. Right? Is that, would you agree with that?
Yeah. Intimacy does take on, I mean, we've only been married a little over 10 years, so it isn't, you know, I have a lot of my friends who have been married for much, much longer. But I think as we age together, it does take on a different depth. And it's a beautiful thing, just like a friendship. You know, as we get older with our friends, there's a beautiful intimacy that evolves that you don't have at 20.
Yeah.
I love being older. I wouldn't change. I mean, wow, if I could do anything, I'd change like my knees out, my hips out. Do you know what I mean? I'd change my vagina out if I could, but you know, I wouldn't trade any of that for how I feel being older and how comfortable I am with myself when I was not comfortable for so long.
That is so, so cool. I think, you know, we need to do another giveaway.
Yes.
I love giveaways. It's like my favorite thing. So if you're listening, Clarissa, thank you for your tweet. We're going to get you a copy of Burlesque Yoga, Sex, and Love. Brandy's been in there tweeting. I know she already has the book, so we're going to give her a Desert Priestess. How's that? Woohoo!
That sounds wonderful.
Yes. And we're going to keep on going here. I have to ask this because this made me laugh out loud when I read it.
that makes me happy, Kim.
You know what? There were parts, like, I just, like, kind of go, oh, my God. And here's the funny part. Like, as I read the book, I hear your voice. Like you're reading it. It's cool. It's so wonderful. But I want to talk about showgirl herpes, okay? And for everybody, it's not what you think, okay? It is the glitter is the showgirl herpes. and there is, so let me just read this very quickly. Chocolat, am I saying that correctly? Chocolat, yeah?
Uh-huh.
The extraordinaire, who is the first Black neo-burlesque performer in the UK said this about glitter, showgirl herpes. We shit glitter. And speaking in literal terms, sometimes I cough and a clump of reconstituted glitter will fly out of my mouth. Okay, so we... You know, I think glitter is pretty cool. I don't want to shit it. So talk to me about this.
Well, there is a lot of glitter. Glitter is so much fun. I love covering my body in glitter. Because on stage, within the spotlight, you turn and your body just glows with this glitter. It's fun and it's just great, but it gets everywhere. So there is glitter in our bed, and there are just days when Ben goes off to work and I kiss him on the cheek and I look and I realize that there is glitter on his face from the pillow because I've been in bed with glitter. So it just gets
That's
everywhere.
Awesome. Oh my
and
God.
You just can't get it out of anything. It sinks into the carpet. It gets into the corners of on the floor and then in the sheets, and you wash it and it doesn't come out. It just stays with you forever. And you have to really, to do burlesque, you have to be okay with a glitter.
Yeah. And with that's pretty amazing that you would, wow, shit it out.
Well, yeah, you just kind of end up ingesting it, you know? It's just sort of like it's in the air, it's on your lips, it's everywhere. But glitter sun is beautiful. It's like, just think of it as tiny little suns.
Oh, that's great. I love it. So, you know, I think you have taken on a very big project with Burlesque Yoga, Sex, and Love. You have been very honest. You have been very raw in some parts with this book. And so how are you going to take this to the next level for women?
Well, I'm this Christmas, I'm almost done with my classes, so I have a few weeks in front of me where it's not jam-packed with grading papers and things. And what I'd really like to do is I'm thinking about creating an online class for helping women look at their bodies and feel more comfortable in them and at least start on the path of radical self-acceptance.
How many women, I just want to say, and I know we have a lot of women that are listening that aren't tweeting, but radical self-acceptance. You know what? It makes me go, yes, and do, you know, the happy hands. I love it because it's so, so important.
Yeah, it is. And if we as women are not in that place of total, or as close as we can get to total self-acceptance and love, we are not as powerful as we can be. I mean, I think keeping women obsessed with their bodies and feeling feeling bad about themselves and loss of self-confidence is, I just think it's a tool of the patriarchy. That's what I think. And I think having women in their bodies and confident and moving forward and in that space of radical self-acceptance can just change the world.
Yes. And let's, you know, I want to talk about Goddess a little bit too, you know, because I have to say that what strikes me after more than 20 years of being a priestess and leading women's groups and everything, and I want to know if your experience is the same, is that women that are in Goddess spirituality, women's spirituality, seem calmer, more content, more comfortable in their bodies. Would you agree?
I think what I feel that women's spirituality has done is it's created a culture that is different from the mainstream culture, that has given a wider acceptance. And so women in women's spirituality, and I would say women also in the lesbian community experience the same thing, that they are not, they're able to be in a place where they're outside of that sort of heteronormative male hegemonic idea of what women should be. And so we have created in women's spirituality and in lesbian culture places where women are not forced to adhere to these standards. But in those same places, whether women do or do not accept it and move to it, you know, that can be here or there. But at least these spaces exist.
Yeah. So let me ask a question. Do you think in the lesbian world, so to speak, I don't know a better way to say that, do you think there is more radical self-acceptance?
Well, and I should probably say for those who don't know me intimately, probably just about everybody, that I have spent quite a bit of my life in relationships with women, and I identify as bisexual, and I've been in long-standing relationships of women and a long-standing member of a lesbian community. And sometimes I think so, and then sometimes it's not. I think it's hard to generalize about that. But at least the space is created, and at least we as women get to see, when we see that space open, we're like, oh my gosh, I've been living in this other place. It's like a room with the light on and a room with the light off. you know, you turn around and you're like, oh, this is what it could be. This is as much reality as what I've been fed, you know, or that's been created around me. So I think that's one of the important things that these communities do is create a different reality that is far more women friendly. That's kind of, you know, far more women friendly.
Good. Okay. We have another question that came from Twitter. What are some of the ways, like specific techniques, to honor the body, accept the body?
Well, I can only just talk about my process. It would be, you know, hard for me to tell some, you know, I'm not one of these people that can tell somebody else what to do. But for me, it's been oddly enough, for me, it's been my relationship with the scale. The scale, you know, standing on the scale. So I know that sounds counterintuitive, but the thing is that, you know, I weigh myself every Friday, and I keep a spreadsheet, actually. And I do it because what happens is my emotion says I'm fat, my emotion says I'm overweight, my emotion says I look awful, and I get on that scale, and my weight is the same as when I thought I looked good and felt good. And so what it shows me is that my emotions are just kind of like, my emotions are an unreliable indicator of how I really am. And it helps me separate that. Just because my emotions feel this way doesn't mean that this is the way I look or I am.
Right.
So it's kind of like getting hard data about myself. I'm kind of a data collector. You know what I mean? I'm an academic in some ways, or in many ways. Do you know what I mean? I like hard data. And having hard data about myself has made me be able to look at my emotions and say, wow, I can see what you're doing here, and I'm not going to let you run over my confidence.
Okay. No,
that just
I love it.
Sound
I
out there,
it.
But it's much worse for me.
Wow. Okay, good. And, and this is good. So Sasha has a question. Any specific goddesses to channel for BYSL practices? That's a great question. Thank you, Sasha. I love that
great
question.
Well, I'm a longtime devotee of Aphrodite. And I, which is probably not surprising, I suppose. And I really feel that when I work with her and honor her and give her offerings, that I just feel that overwhelming acceptance of love. I mean, she, in some of the myths, she is married to Hephaestus, who is this not physically attractive man, who is the, he's the guy that, he's kind of the welder or the blacksmith of the Greek mythology.
Right.
And so she the most beautiful is with somebody that no one else considers beautiful. And it's kind of a way to look at outward beauty as just one thing, but it isn't our soul and it isn't who we are. And I feel like I take that lesson from her. But I'm a longtime devotee of Sekhmet, the lion-headed goddess, and she is, you know, she is just the embodiment of courage. And to love ourselves in this culture takes courage. And to love ourselves unequivocally takes courage. And not in a way that puffs up our chest love, a way that's an actual deep, true love and acceptance. And so I always look for Sekhmet for courage and to make my heart larger, to make my heart big enough to love myself, because I can't love anyone else till I love myself. I can't accept anyone else till I accept myself. And if I'm going to be any good in this world, I need to do it with myself first. And so I look to Sekhmet for that.
Wow. Well, and Sekhmet, I mean, we want to talk about, I just want to insert for our listeners, you know, Anne, through Goddess Inc., of course, has the book on Sekhmet, and you can go to goddess-inc.com and get that, as well as there is a Goddess Activation course on Sekhmet if you're really into Sekhmet or want to be into Sekhmet, and that's available through Mystery Goddess or MysterySchoolTheGoddess.net. So she's an amazing goddess, Sekhmet.
Well, and Brandy has a fabulous course on Aphrodite, so.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. Yes, she does. So, and while we're here in mode, I'm gonna do more giveaways because we promised lots of giveaways.
That's right.
Yes. So we would like to send BYSL to Bev Brodsky and Vinyl Cupcake. What a great name. Vinyl Cupcake. So congratulations. We would like to send those out.
I like Vinyl Cupcake. I think that's a fabulous name. And, you know, yeah, we also have the other, you know, the other little special giveaway, too. So
We do. And so we need to pick somebody, you know, who's going to receive that. Ooh, yeah. So everybody start tweeting and I'll pick somebody. So a very special giveaway. And you know, see who's got their... Well, it's something nipple oriented.
Well, if you follow my tweets, I posted a picture, so.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Right.
So, Anne, let me tell you, or let me ask you.
Ask me anything, Kim. Just anything.
I'm so glad. Right. I want to ask, as you held this book, right, as it was all done, what was your wish for the one thing that women would get out of it?
To really take seriously their relationship with their body. My book, Desert Priestess, about being at the temple, for me, it's all about, I want people to take their spiritual path seriously, spend time with it, work with it, be on it. And the second book is about really taking seriously your relationship with your body, making an effort to come into that place of union with it.
That's beautiful.
I think it's what's going to change the world, Kim. You know me. I'm all about changing the world. It's just,
I know.
It's opening up space for women that is safe and beautiful, and where women can be who they are. That's what I'm after.
Mm-hmm. It's so amazing that you did this through a memoir, you know, and so just you know, because we have a few minutes left. How different was the process of doing a memoir versus, I mean, you've done some other amazing books, Stepping Into Ourselves, you've done the editing on that, you know, the Sekhmet book, you've edited Kuan Yin. How different was this?
Well, this is, I mean, it's really revealing. I mean, I talk about things in this book that I don't, you know, that I haven't really talked to people about other than my very close friends, and things that are sometimes just not even outside of my head. And I just, it's very revealing, and it's, you know, makes me feel vulnerable in some ways. But I think it's important to talk about these things, and I hope that by my talking about them, that other women feel moved along that path to talk about these things. So,
well, I'm looking
but
forward to
it. But
yeah,
it sure does make me feel vulnerable.
Yes, for sure. I can't imagine anyone else that I would really like to be in a class to talk to about these kind of things. You know, I think that you're a perfect person to do that, Anne, because you're so warm and compassionate, and you're there. You know what I mean? Like, you're there. And you've done this amazing book that's raw and open and honest, and you kind of hang it all out, and you go, okay. And... You know, but it's great because I think women can take this book and go, all right, this is a person I can go into an online course with, so to speak, and you know, and I can be vulnerable. That's what you've shown us, that we can be vulnerable with you. If that makes sense.
Well, it does. And I feel that I need to be vulnerable. I mean, that's the priestess leader part of me, is that I need to be vulnerable first. And that hopefully by doing that, I open a space for women to be able to do that for themselves.
Oh, good. Well, you know, I think we were tentatively talking like January 2016, beginning of...
Yep.
So, you know,
yeah,
for the class.
Definitely.
So,
yeah.
So for those of you who are listening and who are tweeting, and, you know, I think we're going to have to give Brandy the nipple stuff. She really wants it. And she's been in there tweeting.
Well, I'm really happy. I hope she's seen the picture of in there, hot pink with black tassels. And they're spinners. They're special spinners, so they spin really easily. So
okay, yeah.
You know.
So
right.
Now
got
is
it.
The requisite that we need a YouTube spinning video? No.
Well, I'm sure I can add that, you know. I will put a, there's a, I will tweet a really great video of me spinning. How about that?
Oh, my goodness. I would love that. Yes, we would all love that. We would. Yeah. Because there's no way these are spinning, the ones attached to my body.
You just don't even know yet. So, you know.
Well, you know what it is? I've been very busty my whole life. So now they're big, busty, and not spinning, okay?
You know, it's really not in the bust. It's really all in your pectoral muscles. So, you know.
Yeah, which are overworked because you're busty.
That's great.
All right. Well, I think we're coming to the end. I think, you know, eventually, poor Blog Talk's going to go, okay, enough with the nipples and, you know, we're there. We've got about 5 minutes left.
Yeah, we've said a lot of things tonight, so it's good, though. I think it's good.
It is. It's so, so good. And is there anything that we missed that you kind of want to cover that about the book?
I, as much as anything else, I just hope that that women have fun reading it. And it gives them something new to think about. And that it, and for men, that it gives them a new appreciation of women's life as a woman.
Yeah. Right. Right. Well, as we go south, they have things that are going south, too. So
exactly. And we all need to be, you know, just a little compassion goes a long way. And understanding each other and understanding everybody in this life is a good thing. Makes the world better.
It does. It does. Well, thank you for writing this. And, you know, so do you have another book project? Like, you know, I know you just finished this. I had an author that said to me once, I just gave birth and you're asking me if I want to give birth again. Is that what you're saying?
I do have a tiny little idea for, I've always wanted to write 3 memoirs. So I do have a tiny idea for number 3.
A third memoir. Wow. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That is so wild. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be a few years before I even start it. So I'll let you know. I promise it'll be first on my list.
Okay, good. Okay. I love it. Okay, so, and Brandy said she's got to practice her spinning. So, you know, we'll be waiting.
Oh, good.
That's so good. Well, for all of our listeners, we so appreciate you. So let me kind of give you the details. You can go to burlesqueyogasexandlove.com and you can download a free chapter. You can get the French Kiss Chocolate Lavender Martini cocktail recipe. You can also get some links of all the great places that you can buy the book in case you didn't win one. Amazon, of course, carries the book, and as does Barnes & Noble and all the other great, you know, book retailers. For those of you that are in Albuquerque and is doing a New Year's Eve burlesque show at the Launch Pad, you know, you don't want to miss that. And
I'll be doing an acral balance act with a male partner.
Oh my God! It's like Cirque du Soleil. I'm
kind of like Cirque du Soleil. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And she'll also be at Bookworks in January, at the end of January in Albuquerque. So, Burlesque Yoga, Sex and Love. That has all the deets that you need, and you can also go to goddess-inc.com. Mystery School of the Goddess.net has all of Anne's courses, and you can check out and, you know, see what's going on. We've got, you know, SecMet, we've got a Priestessing 1 course, an intro to Priestessing that Anne has done that's really wonderful and gives you a little bit of taste of everything that's going on. So lots of things to check out. And Anne, thank you so much for being here and being so awesome. I love you.
Well, I love you too, Kim. And thanks for having me on. And always thanks for asking the most amazing questions. I really just adore you and everything that you do. So thanks for the opportunity to be with you.
Thank you. And thank you to all of our wonderful tweeters. And I will be following up this evening to get your addresses so we can get some copies of the book out to you, and you don't want to miss it. They're really cool. And we'll get your addresses and get those out. And my little blog talk lady just told me we have 90 seconds. So, Anne, love you much. Can't wait to have you back on.
Thanks.
And, thank you to everybody. This was kind of a fun experiment to tweet and listen. We're going to do a little bit more of this coming up into 2016. I wish you very happy holidays. We will be back on Monday with Renee Starr and her, talking about her new book, which I don't think has nipples, but we'll check. We will definitely check. And until then, motherhouseofthegoddess.com, and I appreciate you all. I'm going to drum you out with Nalini Blossom and the Glastonbury Women's Choir. And Anne, thank you again so, so much. And Genevieve, who's out there tweeting, Brandy and Clarissa, Molly, Joy Coy, Bev, Vinyl Cupcake, thank you guys all so much.